Hello, I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks for joining me. What were a group of Iranian Shia Muslims doing at the Benedictine Abbey of Sant Anselmo here in Rome in mid-September? Well, they were attending a meeting sponsored by a group of monks who promote monastic interreligious dialogue, one which brought together for 3 days 9 Iranian Shia Muslims and 11 representatives of Western monasticism. But here the plot thickens. Why would an organization such as Monastic Interreligious Dialogue, which by definition deals with all things monastic, sponsor a meeting of a group of people from the International Institute for Islamic Studies of the Iranian city of Qum, given monasticism as an institution does not exist in Islam?
They do not have a monastic order, but they have monastic practices. Most specifically, the fact that they pray 5 times a day, like monks gather for prayer at certain hours of the day.
That was the Secretary General of Monastic Interreligious Dialogue, Benedictine Father William Skudlarik, giving us a taste of what there is in common. He'll explain more of this later on in the programme. But first, he gives me some of the background to this meeting, which, as he told me, stems from a tragic event which took place in Muslim territory, all right, but not in Iran at all, rather in Algeria. You may know the story. It's recounted in a well-known award-winning film. The title is Of Gods and Men, and draws inspiration from a true life story about the French Trappist monks killed at the monastery of Tiberine in 1996, a community led by the prior, Christian de Chergé.
They began to be very closely involved with the life of the surrounding Algerian Muslim community. And in fact, Christian de Chergé and several of the monks were involved in a group called the Ribat Es Salam, the Bond of Peace, in which they would come together twice a year with devout Muslims, not for any kind of intellectual or academic discourse, but to share their spiritual insights or their spiritual quest. They were kidnapped by militants in Algeria. They were assassinated in conditions that are not entirely clear. And while Christian de Chergé never published very much, he left a lot of written material that is now being published. His talks to the community, for example, or retreats he gave, in which he really developed what it means for monks, Christian monks, to be involved in dialogue with Muslims, and why it was appropriate to do so. And he identified himself as a praying person among people who pray. And it was on that level of prayer, or that level of the search for God, or being attentive to God's voice, that he felt we, as monks, could enter into a spiritual dialogue with Muslims, even though, as you pointed out, they do not have a monastic order.
You don't pray 5 times a day as Benedictines, do you?
Yes. Yeah, but not exactly the same hours. Most monasteries, for example, will have a morning prayer, which we call lauds. They will have a midday prayer. They will have evening prayer, vespers. They will have compline, the night prayer, and then also Eucharist. And many monasteries will also come together for a sixth hour, which are called the vigils, the office of readings.
Yeah. That was a point in common already.
Very much in common, very much in common. And as a matter of fact, during this meeting here, we made very sure to make a part of the schedule the times for prayer for us as Christians and for them as Muslims, with the freedom to be participant observers at one another's prayer.
So what did you learn from them in terms of prayer?
In terms of prayer, I learned from them such things as the importance of preparing to pray. They take that very seriously.
Ritual.
The rituals, the ritual washing, the cleansing of their mouth with waters, the making sure that their clothing is in good order and appropriate. That whole sense that you don't just start praying. You prepare for that. You recognize what a serious and awe-inspiring act this is to be in communion with God in prayer.
Obviously, you exchanged conversations with these Shiite Muslims. Did they remark on the way you pray as Western monks?
They did. In a sense, this was more a meeting about informing one another about what we do, you know, so that the other was more aware of it. For example, here at Sant'Anselmo, above the door into the church, there is a Latin inscription.
Tell me in English.
As you stand here, because we line up on feast days especially to go into church. But it says something like, as you stand here, don't let your mind wander, because if the mind does not pray, the lips work in vain. And I happened to mention that, and, you know, one of the Muslims in the small group that I was in said, we have exactly the same thing in our tradition. It's not the prayer of the lips that counts, it's the prayer of the heart. To pray with the heart, there needs to be that time of preparation where you empty the heart of all those things about what do I have to get done for tomorrow, where am I going, what's on my schedule, you know, all those sorts of things. There needs to be a kind of conscious effort to center oneself if one is to pray well.
Basically, this is a broadening of understanding of monastic interreligious dialogue, isn't it? Because until now, you only had dialogue with monks. This was something revolutionary, wasn't it?
Well, it was in a sense, but as I mentioned, it was in many ways the example of Christian de Chergé, who prepared us for this. And it wasn't just because of the movie, but a year before his death, he spoke to a gathering of monastic interreligious dialogue, the European members, who were having an annual meeting, and this one was held in Spain. And his address to the European delegates to that meeting in 1995 was really the beginning of a reflection that when we say monastic interreligious dialogue, we're not only talking about monk to monk or nun to nun, Buddhist to Catholic or Hindu to Catholic, but we are talking about the dialogue of religious experience. And once we came to that recognition that monastic, in its broad sense, means this kind of dialogue, then the way, of course, was open to dialogue with Muslims. It just took time to finally get it organized and get us actually to do it. I should say, the meeting we had here at Sant'Anselmo in September was the first meeting on this kind of international level. But especially in Europe, also in the United States, there are individual monasteries which are now meeting regularly with their Muslim neighbors. Sometimes just for fellowship, inviting them over for a meal, for example, at the breaking of the Ramadan fast, but sometimes also for more formal kinds of interaction on these spiritual topics.
These meetings are useful in terms of understanding each other. We come from such different types of cultures. I mean, right. We tend to assume that everyone thinks the way we do in the Western world. This is terribly important, isn't it, in terms of dialogue, of looking towards peaceful relations.
Yeah. Let me just give you one little anecdotal kind of incident. At the end of our conference here in September, Abbot Notker Wolf, who was part of the conference, and I...
The Abbot Primate of the Benedictines.
Abbot Primate of the Benedictines, yes. Decided to give a little concert at the end of the session. It was meant to be just a pleasant way to end things.
You play the cello.
I play the cello, he plays the flute, okay? We did a more modern little piece, and then we played a Handel sonata. Very simple things, just kind of pleasant music, house music, or that we did. But at the end, I noticed one of the younger Muslim participants had a very puzzled look on his face. And I asked what he was wanting to ask, and he said, "Now, how is this part of your religious practice as monks?" And I was just completely taken aback by this, but then I recognized that if I were to go to Iran and they were to do something similar, I would not have any idea either whether this was something they did as part of their prayer life or whether it was something they did more as part of their cultural, social, recreational life. I wouldn't know. I have no points of contact. So he, listening to us play a sonata for flute and basso continuo by Handel, thought this was something that we probably, part of our prayer life, you know. Now, I think music for Benedictine monks is a very important part of their prayer life. We spend a lot of time chanting. But When Abbot Notker Wolf and I gave this little concert, we weren't intending to show them how we prayed. We were just intending to give them a pleasant kind of finale to the conference.
A bit of entertainment. If you were invited to Qom, the holy city of Qom, now in Iran, would you go?
Oh, yes, and we're already thinking about it. We've received an invitation, and yes, I would love to go. I guess it would be a matter of getting a visa. I should also say here, the conference that we had here at Sant'Anselmo was in fact a sequel to meetings that had been arranged by Dr. Muhammad Ali Shomali, who was the kind of coordinator of the group of Shia Muslims that was here, and Abbot Timothy Wright, a former abbot of Ampleforth Abbey in England. He and Muhammad Ali Shomali had become friends, and they then put together in England three meetings between Shia Muslims and English monks and theologians, and I think there were a couple of occasions on which Abbot Timothy and some others went to Qom in Iran. He and Shomali wanted to know if it might be possible to do something in Rome. And that's where I got involved as Secretary General for Monastic and Religious Dialogue. And so it became a meeting sponsored officially by Monastic and Religious Dialogue. So this has had a prehistory. Now, it's now taken a little bit of a shift in that it is no longer, as it was in England, mainly a kind of theological exchange. You know, we've now shifted it more to the monastic, that is, spiritual practices, spiritual experience exchange. Theology has to be based on faith and on experience. And unless you have that ground of faith, and that faith that expresses itself in prayer and in the way you live your life, there's nothing to theologize about. And if you don't have that grounding there, theology can become just little mind games, you know, where you kind of play around with concepts. So what I think we are trying to do in monastic interreligious dialogue is provide the data of people's experience, people of different religious traditions who come together to share their experience, and then to allow the theologians then to reflect on that and say, now what does this mean? What does this mean? Christian de Cherche already began that. You know, Christian de Cherche was very much involved in this dialogue of religious experience, but I'm reading a book about him now in which he says, and I'll quote it in French first, dire Dieu autrement, c'est pas dire un autre Dieu. Because we speak of God differently doesn't mean we're speaking about different gods. Now, that's a theological issue. What does it mean to speak about God differently, but not to speak about a different God? But that's the experience that Christian de Cherche had out of his meeting with these devout Muslim neighbors of his, that they spoke of God differently, but they're speaking of the same God. Now, let the theologians figure that out. You know, what does that mean? What does that mean? How can that be true?
I'm sure the Shia Muslims were constantly quoting from the Quran.
Constantly. I mean, this is, and in Arabic. You know, I mean, they would always do it in Arabic and then give us the translation. And I think that was one of the things that was both a point of commonality, because they're, everything is so rooted in the Holy Quran, in the revelation made to Muhammad, that they are just constantly quoting it, constantly quoting it. It can come across to us, at least to me sometimes, as sort of what we would call biblicism, you know, or using proof texts out of the Bible, just kind of picking verses out of the Bible to prove your point. That's how it sounds to me sometimes. And I was cautioned by one of the Catholic monks here not to impose my own categories on their practice. I think what really happened over the 3 days was that we got to know one another and we began to sense that we were friends with one another. And I am convinced that unless friendship is established with followers of other religions, anything else really makes no sense. There has to be that friendship and that trust that eventually enables us not only to speak about our own experience, but even to ask some questions that otherwise might seem to be too invasive.
And our thanks there go to the Secretary General of Monastic Interreligious Dialogue, Benedictine Father William Skudlarik. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick. Thanks so much for listening.